The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
Welcome back into Fantasy Baseball. Today, this is part two, hour two of our live for the people 16-team head-to-head categories draft. And we left off in round 12 where Scott made another pick, and it was AJ Puck, 178th overall. Talk to me, Scott.
I think there's a ton of upside. Been talking about it all spring. He was a former elite pitching prospect who got moved to the bullpen probably before he should have, just because he was coming back from Tommy John surgery, and I think the A's were anxious to get him up. And he kind of got stuck there for a while, but the strikeout numbers were great in the bullpen. They've even been even better with him expanding his arsenal to start this spring. And I want high impact. You know, I could have gone with a Nathan Eovaldi type instead, and maybe been more assured that he would stick in the rotation, that he would give me quality starts. But the thing is, seven pitcher spots. I know I want to dedicate three to relief most weeks, so I only need to come up with four guys, starting pitchers, who I can count on week after week. And so I think I'm going to take big swings for upside plays like Puck rather than settle for kind of mushy mid-range type, globby, you could say, even type pitchers.
One could say.
After AJ Puck, Jose Alvarado, Aaron Savali. Chris, I'm telling you right now, if Savali was there for our pick, I was going to take one of those mushy, globby, boring starting pitchers, because it kind of just feels like that's what our team needs at this point.
Thank you to, I missed the old El Mago, Kobe Kratz.
Come on, man.
For what? Not forcing me to have Aaron Savali on one of my teams. Oh, I really appreciate that.
What is wrong with Aaron Savali, man? Come on. After Savali, Cutter Crawford, Nathan Eovaldi. Team Cramful, Stowers, whatever you want to call us. Chris.
Great pick. Incredible pick.
Chris suggested Mitch Garver. I think there are better catchers available, but I'll give in. I mean, this is basically Chris's team
you
at this point. So
conceding your own picks to Chris now, Frank. You only
I made a suggestion. That is all.
We selected Mitch Garver over Sean Murphy. That seems criminal, Chris.
That is the first time that you have even considered one of my suggestions. All right. I see right there in Slack, Frank Stample has paused their notifications. You're not even seeing the messages I'm sending, and you're blaming me? No, sir. No.
I saw your message of Mitch Garver. That's why I took him. After Mitch Garver, David Bednar, Tristan McKenzie, James Outman, who is going to strike out a lot, but he's also going to walk quite a bit, so probably gains a little bit of value in OBP. Then Michael Garcia, James Paxton, Anthony Rizzo, I like that, in OBP as well. Clay Holmes and Sean Murphy. That should have been our pick, Chris.
Yeah. Mitch Garver. Garver better.
Mitch Garver is a great hitter. He walks. It's just, can he stay healthy? That's the question.
Well, it's pretty likely to stay healthy if he's only hitting, one would think.
Likelier than he would be otherwise.
That would be the
I
hope.
Don't know. I mean, I guess this, I have them in the same tier, so I guess that kind of makes this case in fewer words, but I don't know that Sean Murphy is definitively a better fantasy asset than Mitch Garver.
I have Garver ranked ahead.
Come on. It would require the Braves to play Travis d'Arnaud less often than they did last year, which they probably should, and which they may. He's no spring chicken. But I don't have any assurances that they're going to do that.
All right. Here are some fun facts for Mitch Garver, for you Garver fans out there. His career in Seattle, 0 for 31.
Who cares? He's due.
That's a pretty big sample, 31 at-bats. He also has not been very good as a DH in his career. I know that. He's been much better as a hitter whenever he's been a catcher. I thought I had those stats available, but I don't. But
now do Sean Murphy's second half stats, Frank.
Ah, come on, Scott. You're a Braves fan. Man. You know what was wrong. He was got hit in the head with a bat, concussion.
Okay, but if you're going to explain away his small sample slump, then an even smaller sample slump for Mitch Garver is also easy to explain.
What if he doesn't see the ball well in Seattle like Teoscar Hernandez?
That's possible, but it's unknowable.
Mm. I mean, 0 for 31 is
right, but like the example I always think of, Mike Redmond. You remember that guy? Former Marlins manager, former Marlins GM for like 2 weeks. He hit 438 with a 1075 OPS against Tom Glavine. It was 51 plate appearances, right? Like we shouldn't just assume that Mike Redmond single-handedly turned Tom Glavine into a scrub. It's just that in small sample sizes, weird things can happen. That's my assumption with Mitch Garver. I can't say it for sure, but both the as a DH and at Seattle stats are pretty small sample sizes.
All right, last point on Mitch Garver. The DH thing, 446 plate appearances in his career, 216 batting average, 735 OPS. As a catcher, it's 267 and 869. It's a pretty big difference.
That's a significant difference. I do wonder if a disproportionate number of those DH plate appearances haven't come when he's been banged up.
Mm-hmm. That is possible. Yeah, giving him a half day.
And now that he's committing to it.
Yeah.
Like there may have been some kind of mental block there that he's going to have to figure out how to unblock. And I think he will.
All right, let's catch people up. There have been a lot of picks at the end of round 12. JP Crawford, it's a good pick in OBP. Yep. And Esteri Ruiz, who I typically do not target, 193rd overall. That's pretty late in a draft. I saw a report that there was an article on MLB.com projecting the Oakland A's opening day lineup, and Esteri Ruiz was not part of it. That doesn't mean that'll be the case. That's just one beat writer's opinion, but that is the latest on Esteri Ruiz. After him, Craig Kimbrell, Nestor Cortez, Adbert Ausley, Kyle Harrison, Jackson Holliday, who will start the season in the minors, but once he's up, hopefully a good OBP contributor, maybe, 15 home runs, 20 plus steals, something like that. Jack Sawinski gains value in OBP. Then Ryan Helsley, Yoan Duran, and it appears we've made a pick. DL Hall, come on down.
This is everyone's being so mean to me. I thought that was a great pick.
I like it. He's not going to get any quality starts.
He may not. I don't know. The thing with quality starts is it mostly matters whether you're good. Like that is the primary. There are few pitchers who, when they're pitching well, don't get quality starts, right? Like Blake Snell, when he's pitching well, gets quality starts. It's just you can't often or always count on him to pitch well. There are exceptions to that, but if DL Hall lives up to his expectations, I don't think they're just going to pull him after five innings every time. So, he's got to be efficient. The control has to be there, but those things have to be true for DL Hall to matter. Either way, right?
Yes. He's got to be able to throw strikes. I agree with you. Like, if it all works, then maybe he is going deeper into his starts. And, it could eventually result in quality starts. I like the pitcher. It's just, with this league's current setup and categories, it's maybe he's not as valuable, but I hope I'm wrong. I like DL Hall. I have him in the Scott White Dynasty League, so I hope it works out. After that, Tanner Scott, Jonathan India, Ryan McMahon, Junior Caminero. So the top prospect stashes coming off the board in the same round 13. Scott, you are up. Let's check in.
I think I'm going to give myself another option at third base. I was thinking maybe I could fall back on Junior Caminero and maybe put Christopher Morel back in the outfield. But I am going to have to come out of this draft with a third baseman, so I'm going to put Isak Paredes there. And
good OBP guy.
Yeah, and he'll be able to back up first base for me. He'll be able to back up first base for me as well. And very quickly, I'm back up.
Eduardo Rodriguez, the last pick of round 13. Masataka Yoshida, who hits for good batting average. Yep. Solid OBP guy.
Has Jung-Hoo Lee gone?
Not yet.
I don't think so. No name dropping, Chris.
You're gonna get back into the OBP battle here in round 14.
It's never too late.
One player gonna make up all that ground for you.
It's never too late, Scott.
Never too late. I might take him here.
Oh,
so I mean, he did have a batted ball over 110 miles per hour this spring. I think he stole two bases, made a ton of contact as we expected. I'm cautiously optimistic about Jung-Hoo Lee being like a better Alex Verdugo. You know, maybe that's damning with faint praise, but Alex Verdugo's generally been a pretty useful fantasy option. I think there might be 20 steal potential there.
I decided to go with a pitcher instead.
And it was Christopher Sanchez.
Not even a second went by before somebody took Jung-Hoo Lee after I made that Christopher Sanchez pick.
Well, thanks for watching, Christopher Heimerman.
We appreciate it. Christopher Sanchez last year, he improved the control dramatically, something we've never seen from him in his minor league career, really at any stop. But he gets lots of ground balls. His velocity is up this spring.
Which may not be a good thing, but he said if the added velocity wasn't working, then he'd go back to what he was doing last year. So I am trying to stick to the idea that spring training stats don't matter. And I'm not going to lose faith in Christopher Sanchez because he didn't have a very good spring. I think the skills are there for him to be an impactful fantasy pitcher. And I'll go ahead and explain the reason why I decided not to take Jung-Hoo Lee. Probably not many homers, probably not many steals, and only 9 hitter spots. And do you want to devote one of those 9 mm-hmm. hitter spots to somebody who isn't going to help you in those two ever important categories? He'll probably be a plus in on base percentage. He'll probably be a plus in runs scored. So I don't think he's a bad pick here, but ultimately it's just not, it's not somebody I wanted to feel like I had to keep in my lineup.
And I do think he's probably better in just straight roto than head-to-head categories.
Just because you have more hitter spots.
You have more hitter spots, and also he might be more of a compiler. Like, he's going to hit leadoff. I think the runs are going to be very good. I think that was who I wanted you to take, Frank. Thank you very much. This is what a supportive teammate looks like. Jung-Hoo Lee, like, I think it could be 15 to 20 steals, but that's probably the ceiling. I think it could be 10 to 15 homers. That's probably the ceiling. But over the course of a season, from a guy who hits 280 and steals 95 or scores 95 runs, that probably has more impact than like in a head-to-head categories league where most weeks he's probably not going to hit a home run. Most weeks he's probably not going to steal a base.
You're dividing those 10 home runs over 26 weeks.
Yeah.
And so occasionally you'll get a home run out of that spot, mm-hmm. but how much is that going to really impact the standings for you? Virtually not at all.
Yep.
All right. After Christopher Sanchez and Jung-Hoo Lee, Jason Adam, who is a great play in Saves Plus Holds leagues, Sal Frelick, Cal Raleigh, our shared team, Team Cramful, Luis Severino. I was debating him and a couple other pitchers, and I don't know, just lean into the upside at this point, Chris. You know.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. He's had a great spring. They think they fixed the pitch tipping issues. The velocity and movement profiles have mostly been consistent from 2022 when he was really good to 2023 when he was really bad this spring also. So I think the pitch tipping is a it's a plausible excuse for why Luis Severino was so bad last year.
After Severino, Paul Sewald, who will start the season on the IL with an oblique strain. We do have four IL spots in this league. Henry Davis, who is likely to be the starting catcher to open the season. Yasmani Grandal, looks like he'll start the season on the IL. Logan Ohapi, Jose Leclerc, Edouard Julien, Matt Chapman, Francisco Alvarez, and Gavin Stone. We are up to the final pick in round 14.
I'm not going to have any Gavin Stone shares. That's frustrating.
Well, you can just pick him up after after everyone drops him when Walker Buehler's back.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. Oh.
And harsh. With that, let's take another break. And when we return, into round 15 we go here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed. Welcome back in. The final pick of round 14, Yusei Kikuchi. And the first pick of round 15 is Parker Meadows, someone who's had a great spring, some power and speed, could lead off for the Detroit Tigers. He's someone that I've really kind of gotten excited about, Parker Meadows. I know it's not a good ballpark, but...
Yeah, I think you're I'm not... That's one of those don't let spring training stats fool you the other way, I feel like. Spring training is a very favorable hitting environment, if for no other reason, because pitchers aren't unfurling their full arsenal most of the time.
And you're playing a lot of AA and AAA pitchers,
Cactus League, you got the desert air, but even the Florida leagues where the Grapefruit League where Parker Meadows was playing, you get some wind gusts.
But Meadows played 114 games at AAA last season. Batting average was bad, .256, but 19 homers, 19 steals could be a really useful roto.
I think he'll be Jake Fraley-like. That's what I think he'll be. If he was playing in Cincinnati and Jake Fraley was playing in Detroit, I would project even better outcomes onto Meadows than I'm projecting to Fraley. But being that they are where they are, I think their numbers will be very similar.
After Meadows, Marcus Stroman, Kerry Carpenter, Giancarlo Stanton, and Brian Abreu. Chris, I'm sorry, we won't have Stanton on our team.
I wish I did. I don't know if I have him on any of my teams this year, which might be the first time that's ever happened. And he's having a good spring. A lot of that was he hit about a quarter of a mile's worth of home runs off of Marco Gonzalez in one game. I don't know if you guys saw it, but he hit it over everything. There's all kinds of obstacles down the outfield, and he hit it just over every single one of them. I'm very excited about the pick we're about to make because this is one of those ones that I just kind of forgot. Uh-huh. And now he's here. Best reliever in baseball, baby.
Mason Miller.
That would be Mason Miller.
He looks so stupid good this spring. I have no idea if he can stay healthy, but I genuinely think best relief pitcher in baseball is a realistic outcome for Mason Miller. He is averaging like 101 miles per hour with his fastball this spring pitching out of the bullpen. He's hit 103. strikeout rate is like 40%. It's been a pretty bonkers spring.
Does he get more saves than the holds leaders get holds?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think that's a guarantee.
Yeah. I think that's probably just the one drawback to him, which
yeah,
I'm fine with him in general. He has looked amazing, and I think in a saves plus holds league, you really just want to focus on skills and getting the most talented relievers, and obviously yeah. Mason Miller could be one of those. But the fact that he plays for Oakland, it's like saves and holds are going to be so hard to come by for him. It's just
it happens sometimes that relievers on bad teams get a lot of, like, I think Trevor May actually had a solid number of saves for the A's in the second half last year.
In the second half especially, yeah. It was only 21 total, but, and the team itself only had 29.
Yeah.
Which actually, odds are against it, yeah.
There were somehow two teams in the American League that had fewer saves than the Oakland Athletics last year. And it kind of makes sense, right? They're never going to blow you out.
It's something you can explain after the fact.
Yeah.
But it's not at all surprising when they just, nobody in the bullpen emerges as a viable starter and option for saves in fantasy.
Yeah. Dustin May had 15 saves in the second half last season. Actually had 5 saves each in June, July, August, and September. So I'd take 30 from Mason Miller because I think it's because it's going to come with 110 strikeouts. I'm really, really bullish on the skill level for Mason Miller.
All right. After he went Max Kepler, Yennier Cano, Tyler O'Neill, Abner Uribe, and Scott selected Jack Flaherty. Just want to quickly mention with those two relievers, Yennier Cano and Uribe, not obviously not as worried about them not getting saves, but they could just provide really good ratios for Cano, and then obviously lots of strikeouts, I think, for Uribe as well. Scott, Jack Flaherty is someone that you've kind of warmed up to this spring, and he's looked really good. The velocity is up. Hopefully the Tigers have figured him out.
They said they had a plan for him when they signed him, and it sure looks like it with the spring performance. Ultimately, it may be another case of spring performance not mattering. I do think it's worth pointing, you know, we had a couple years ago, Carlos Rodon, Trevor Rogers, Robbie Ray all emerge in spring training. Mm-hmm. If you pick them all up, you probably won your league. But it's more often than not, the spring riser doesn't work out. It's worth saying. There will be some every year that work out.
Another
Jack
pick.
Flaherty. Jack Flaherty's in the long week. His matchups, I believe, are Oakland and the White Sox. And so if Jack Flaherty has a bad first week.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just drop him.
The dream is over.
By the way, another guy who has pretty quietly had an incredible spring that I think is worth mentioning is Dalton Varsho.
Yes.
Because plate discipline is one of those things that can show up in spring training and be a leading indicator. And he has 10 walks to 9 strikeouts in 60 plate appearances. He got hot towards the end of last season, was much better down the stretch. He has 8 stolen bases.
Yep.
In 60 plate appearances as well. So obviously all the caveats of everything apply here. And, you know, the fact that he's outfield only now certainly hurts the profile, but I'm going to write about 5 guys I'm worried I'm wrong about for tomorrow's newsletter, for Wednesday's newsletter.
Hedge those bets.
He might be on there. Yeah. I'm not sure. I haven't quite ironed it out who the 5 are going to be because I want 2 of them to be pitchers. I think he might be on there, though.
Yeah. Dalton Varsho, as you mentioned, 8 steals this spring. And as we know, steals are really just a matter of intention and, I guess, wanting to get them. And, you know, he's been fast enough in the past. It's 16 steals in back-to-back seasons. So, I could go 20-20 this year. I don't think that would really surprise anybody. That is Dalton Varsho. Into round 16 we go. Tommy Edman, the first pick. Nick Lodolo went to Scott. The expectation is that Lodolo will make his season debut on April 10th, assuming all is well. After that, Gabriel Moreno, Ryan Weathers, and Casey Mize. We are on deck, Chris. What's the latest? What are we thinking?
We have one pitcher spot in our starting lineup to fill. We have one reliever and five starters, and we got our whole starting hitting lineup filled. So the world is your oyster, Frank. Go find us a pearl.
I think pitcher is what it's going to be. Scrolling around, seeing what's left.
That makes sense. No scrubby closers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good pitchers left if we want to.
Okay, the pitcher I wanted is still available. Hopefully, we will be adding a category for home runs allowed, because Brandon Pfaadt, come on down. You are you're part of the team. We've got, it's just a weird collection of pitchers that we wound up with here. But we took the two aces early on. We took Strider and Tarek Skubal. And then we waited a long time. We jumped back in with Walker Buehler, who will start on the IL. But we also got Luis Severino, D.O. Hall, Brandon Pfaadt, and then Mason Miller. So,
and the thing when you take two legit aces like Tarek Skubal and Spencer Strider, they have to keep in mind as you look through the rest of the pitching staff is, especially if you're doing it this way where you take those two guys and then don't take one, those guys cover up for so much more than you really even think. Like, it, you can look at it and say, oh, the rest of the pitching staff's not that good. It kind of doesn't matter with how good those guys are and should be. I think the rest of the pitching staff is fine. There's certainly no shortage of talent on it. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it at all.
After Brandon Pfaadt, Robert Suarez, Jordan Hicks, who had the 10 strikeout game on Monday night, 20 swinging strikes against the Oakland A's in that outing. We spoke extensively about him yesterday. Colton Cowser, who has made the Baltimore Orioles, sounds like he might be a fourth outfielder to start the season. I'm sure they'll work him in a couple of times per week, but maybe not as much as we want early on.
I would imagine he plays no less than Ryan O'Hearn and probably more between the three outfield spots and DH.
So let's say a six-game week, Scott. How many games do you think Colton Cowser gets in there? Three or four?
Four. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
After start out, and he may earn more playing time.
After Cowser, Bo Naylor, AJ Minter, who's great for holds in this format. Chris Bryant, Jordan Romano, finally 254th overall, could turn out to be a great pick. Jared Kelnick, Brent Rooker is the last pick of round 16, and then Yoel Piamps, the first pick of round 17. Worth mentioning, Abner Uribe went, I think, at the end of round 15, so a little bit of a pick difference there, and maybe it makes sense because the upside is probably higher for Uribe, strikeouts. Maybe he's a higher whip guy. But again,
I mean, you were just saying it. If you're focusing on upside at relief pitcher, if you're focusing on talent, I think is how you put it.
Yeah.
Uribe is probably a clearer bust case than Piamps, but if Piamps isn't like his very best self, then he's pretty fringy in this league where there's always going to be other hold sources on the waiver wire.
After go ahead.
Jared Kelnick did finally hit his first spring home run today and has generally been better in the week or so since the Adam Duvall signing. Maybe that was just lit a fire under him. And there's been a lot of talk about the work that Scott, their hitting coach, Kevin Seitzer, has put in to quiet his swing and change his hand placement and stuff. Yeah. This is work that he's done with Michael Harris and Ronald Acuna, and he's widely considered to be one of the better hitting coaches in baseball. So, it might be that it just took a couple weeks to click. He had a 452-foot home run today.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's still a lot of enthusiasm for Kelnick. As bad as it makes sense when you hear Kevin Seitzer's explanation is just he wasn't direct to the ball with the placement of his hands. And so he was getting his hands in positions. He was very late constantly. And so he's kind of had to rebuild his swing this spring and he struggled to get his timing down with it. But the timing is coming now at the end of spring training. Mm-hmm. The huge outcome may still be coming for Kelnick, who hits the ball very hard and is tremendously athletic.
All right, well, where did we leave off? That's right, Piamps, Jake Cronenworth, Sadan Rafaela, who will be on the Red Sox opening day roster, Sean Manaea, who's looked pretty good this spring, Josh Spores is a reliever with the Rangers, Will Benson, who will play a lot early in the season for the Cincinnati Reds. He strikes out a lot. He also walks a lot, so gains a little bit of value in OBP. Kenta Maeda, Luis Campusano.
Great early season streamer, Kenta Maeda. I learned that from Scott White's pitching preview.
there you go. Luis Campusano, Mitch Haniger, who's looked great. Yeah. We've talked about that a lot recently. He's healthy for now. I think he has 5 home runs in the spring. It's not really a matter of talent with Haniger. It's just if he stays on the field, he's probably going to hit like 25 home runs. After that, it appears our team has selected Michael Kopech.
The shouts to Terry Gensler in the chat, who said Chris is going to take Kopech and Miller and have the failed starters version of the Bash Brothers. I like that comment so much that I had to do it.
Yes, that's what we're basing our picks on now, Chris. Come on. after Kopech, Ronaldo. Okay,
look, Michael Kopech had like 105 strikeouts as a reliever 2 years ago. Let's pump our brakes on the jokes.
I just love that we just had a conversation about how talented Mason Miller is, but he might not get any saves or holds because he's on a bad team. And then we took Michael Kopech, who's on the White Sox. So
60 saves between them coming up, guaranteed.
Let's go. Let's get it. After Kopech, Ronaldo Lopez, TJ Friedl, who will start on the IL, Jonah Heim, Paul Skeen, someone I was thinking about. If the Pirates are still alive, I mean, look, they're not going to be out of it by May or like mid-May, but if Skeens just shoves the first month of the season and the Pirates are in shouting distance in the Central, like, I think he's going to get called up. After that, Scott, you selected Max Scherzer and then Devin Williams. So back-to-back IL stashes. Is Scherzer your first starting pitcher stash?
Yes, he's my first. Okay. He's my first injury stash of any kind, I believe.
Okay.
Though I may not be long with Tyler Glass now as my ace. I might take another starting pitcher stash here as well. Should I do it? I have so few injury stashes and there's 4 IL spots in this league. So let's do it. Kyle Bradish.
There he is. Scotty's back. Kyle Bradish, who has been throwing some bullpens in the last we heard from GM Mike Elias, is that Kyle Bradish will be back some early in the first half is how they phrased it. So it's kind
you
of vague.
Scotty's back. Does that mean I'm known for drafting injured pitchers? And now that I've taken 2 back-to-back, I am back myself.
No,
is that what you were intimating?
I feel like you said that you're back, and so I just repeated what you said. Scotty's okay, back. I could just be making that up. To be completely honest, I pulled up your sleeper pitchers article so I could see who has good matchups early in the season. So I'm trying to focus on that while also analyzing this draft. So there's just a lot of things going on right now.
Ah, Shane Boz was there too. I think I had accidentally... Oh,
Cole Keith finally goes.
I had accidentally halfway crossed out Shane Boz's name.
All right.
He might have been better than Bradish.
The next player on Scott's sleeper pitchers list is Tyler Wells, so come on down.
You are a cramful.
It was between him and Bradish. Bradish or Bradish's replacement, who I like a lot too, Tyler Wells. I think he is... A poor man's Bailey Ober, basically.
Yeah, lots of fly balls, which should work out in the new and improved Camden Yards. And as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, whenever I take an IL stash pitcher, I like to pair them with Tyler Wells. It just feels like it makes a lot of sense. So we've had Walker Buehler on this team, and now we get Tyler Wells. So hopefully he helps us out during Walker Buehler's absence. After Tyler Wells, Ryan Pressly. Great in saves plus holds. Kenley Jansen, Alex Lang, the reliever's starting to go. Zachary Neto, who's had a great spring, former first-round pick, pushed aggressively by the Angels last year and actually hits the ball hard for a, you know, you would think a smaller middle infield type. Mm-hmm. It's like a 90-mile-per-hour exit velocity. It's pretty good for him. Julian Merriweather, Jose Abreu, and Zach Littell, someone you've talked up recently, Chris.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to just bet on guys on the Rays to a certain extent. You know, they're going to maximize the guys that they get. And I'm not sure he's much less talented than Aaron Civale, who went quite a bit earlier. So, you know, Littell has elite control and, you know, that's a decent building block for a team like the Rays.
after Littell, Ryan Mountcastle, and Kevin Ginkle. It's a nice little pick there. He's likely to...
I don't like the way you said that, Chris.
I love the way you said that, Chris. Kevin Ginkle likely to fill in for Paul Sewald, who's starting the season on the IL with an oblique injury. Probably going to miss the first, I don't know, month, first 6 weeks of the season, something like that. And the first pick of round 19, Lars Nootbaar.
Yep, another, I was ready to take him.
Another injury stash. Who?
I mean, we're 15 picks away from me, so...
The nice thing about Ginkle in this format in particular is it's not just a month pick. You're going to get holds. That's the nice thing about any of the Griffin Jacks, Brock Stewart, and any of these guys. It's not just picking them up for 1 month and then probably dropping them like in a standard roto league. You're going to get holds from them. They're going to be useful the rest of the way if they're good.
After Lars Nootbaar, Frankie Montas, your opening day starter for the Cincinnati Reds. I was going to add with Nootbaar, when everything is working well, when he's at his best, he does walk a lot. Mm-hmm. So for those who play in
format.
OBP formats, he does gain value.
Queuing him up, and I don't think he's going to be out for very long. And he had talked about how he worked on elevating the ball to his pull side this offseason with Nolan Arenado, who might be the best player in baseball at doing that. Well, Isak Paredes, I guess, has an argument too, but Arenado's done it for longer, and Nootbaar was trying to do the same thing. So I was getting fired up about him before he fractured those two ribs, and would have liked to have him here. Waited too long.
Carlos Estevez, the Angels closer, who they've really kind of backed him up this offseason, even after signing Robert Stevenson. They've come out and said Estevez is the guy. At least for now, we know Stevenson is starting on the IL with a shoulder injury. Justin Turner perennially outperforms his draft value. Just kind of solid. 270 plus hitter, 20 homers. He's going to bat in the middle of that lineup. While we're on that, by the way, came out today that Vlad Jr. expected to bat second in the Blue Jays order. So I imagine it would be Springer, Vlad, Bichette, Turner, top four in their lineup, right? Does that make sense?
That would make sense. Yeah,
that's
It gets a little rough after that, but yeah, that's a lot, top four.
That's a lot of righties, man. It's four righties in a row to start your lineup. Yeah. Maybe Dalton Varsho batting fifth for them. After Justin Turner, Jeremy Pena, JP Sears. Let me check my Slack chat and make sure Chris hasn't typed anything to me in all caps lately. He hasn't. The last thing I got was Mason Miller, Mason Miller, Mason Miller. That was.
I don't think you really 20 minutes translated ago. the fervor, but that's the text.
All caps, baby. JP Sears. I think JP Sears is on. Yep, he's on Scott's sleeper pitchers. First weekend of the season.
Or week one.
Facing the Guardians.
Let's make it clear.
I mean, so at this point,
you're going to have to set your lineup 26 times, Frank. Let's not get stuck on week one.
I like Tyler Wells, the pitcher, in general, too. Yeah.
I like that pick, too.
Outside of just week one. JP Sears, worth mentioning, it sounds like he's working in a sinker this spring training, and the results have been pretty good. So, he's not going to get many wins, but pitching in Oakland as a fly ball pitcher, it helps mitigate some of the damage in that ballpark. After Sears, Orlando Arcia, Ezekiel Tovar, Hector Neris.
Oh, interesting. Was that for my pick?
MJ Melendez.
Wow, I've made both of you frustrated with my picks so far tonight.
Yes!
I can afford... I have my utility spot open. I have utility spot and three bench spots. So those three bench spots are going to relievers, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was going to get MJ Melendez for my utility spot, who actually is one of my sleeper hitters for the long week one, which is what we're using here in this league. Combining the first weekend with the first full week.
I mentioned that like five players I think I might be wrong about, or I'm worried I'm wrong about. I don't know what the right way to phrase this is, but he's definitely on there because I haven't really considered taking him at all this year. And I kind of took another look recently, and there's some really good stuff in MJ Melendez's profile. Yes. Average exit velocity, 96 percentile, 93.2 miles per hour. Max exit velo was really high. Barrel rate, hard hit. Tons of strikeouts, 28%. But I don't know. Like, there's some decent signs even within the plate discipline metrics where, like, he doesn't chase all that often. I don't know.
He's had a really good spring.
Yeah, there could be like a 25 to 30 homer outcome for MJ Melendez.
Now, I don't even know why I bother to say that, because I have, like, the Royals, I think, more than any other team playing in the Cactus League in spring training and then playing their home games where they play them. There have been more hitter fakeouts over the years in spring training with them than any other team. So maybe MJ Melendez's spring is like that. But he does have an interesting skill set that you could see turning into a pretty high ceiling. I mean, didn't he have a season in the minors where he hit
40 homers, right?
40 plus homers. Yeah,
I think ever seen the minors. 2021, the Royals had the three highest homer totals in American organized baseball, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Prado, Melendez, and Salvador Perez all hit 40?
Sounds right.
Well, I got to take somebody for that utility spot. And I think I want it to be an outfielder, but it should really just be best hitter available, right?
Yeah.
Around 19, at this point, I'm going to take Matt Wallner, who's had a terrible spring, but I don't think it's cost him his job. And it stands to reason with his profile. He'll run hot and cold. Three true outcomes guy who should play better in OBP than batting average leagues for how much he walks. He had a 370 on base percentage in the majors last year. And I'm hoping the power will be significant enough that he can actually have weeks that he, you know, single-handedly wins me that category. Presuming I keep him on my roster long enough to find out.
I wanted Braxton Garrett, who just went with the last pick of round 19. The latest picks, there were, after Melendez, Nate Lowe, who's also an injury stash, John Gray, Edward Cabrera, Whit Merrifield. Scott took Matt Wallner. Then the final pick of round 19 was Braxton Garrett. Let's take our final break. When we return, Scott's pick right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome back in. We're into round 20, and the first pick was Keibert Ruiz, then Scott selected Jeff Hoffman, followed by Orion Kerkering. We spoke about Hoffman yesterday in our bullpen breakdown. Saves plus holds, Scott. You just want to draft talent. Hoffman, he looks pretty talented this spring.
Yeah, he went very slider heavy with the Phillies last year and emerged as like a bullpen ace for them. 2.41 ERA, 0.92 whip, 11.9 K per nine. I think it'll be mostly holds, but it doesn't matter as long as he's getting one or the other. And I plan to go with three. These are the last three picks, so I've lived up to my word here. I'm going to fill my last three spots with three relievers who are probably more in line for holds than saves. Jeff Hoffman is my first. I assume there's not going to be a fab run before opening day. Is there? Are we going to do one Wednesday night?
I don't know. Should we? You let me know.
We should.
Yeah, we probably will.
Okay, so I don't even have to draft three right now, if that's the case.
After Kerkering, there was Alex Cobb. I was thinking about taking Cobb, Chris. We could have thrown him on the IL as well, but too late now. Daniel Hudson and Davis Schneider. I think I want to go back to the pitchers and someone who's looked good this spring and we've talked up as a late round sleeper. Mm-hmm. Garrett Whitlock in the Red Sox rotation. So we'll just kind of keep adding to some of these upside pitchers later on. And hopefully it works out. What do you think, Chris? Garrett Whitlock? You in?
Good pick.
Yes. Look at us. It only took us 2 hours and 10 minutes, but here we are, Chris.
I've been very supportive of all your picks. I just want to put
I drafted a bunch of guys you wanted. Mitch Garver, Luis Severino.
Exactly. You've made some really smart picks.
Yeah, that's how we're framing this, huh? After Whitlock, Aroldis Chapman. Lots of strikeouts. Whip could be high, but I think ERA should be pretty good. He's going to get holds for the Pirates. Vaughn Grissom going to start the year on the IL. Could be back soon. I think mid to late April is what it sounds like for Vaughn Grissom. And personally, I don't worry about what is his role when he returns. I think he's just the starting second baseman. They'll probably go Rafaela in center field, Duran and Tyler O'Neill in the corners, Yoshida at DH. Unfortunately, it puts a damper on Willier Abreu, someone we liked earlier in the offseason.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the fact that they're apparently not really considering Sanam Rafaela as a second baseman seems to bode pretty well for Vaughn Grissom's chances of just sliding right back in. And he's already swinging, so it could be mid-April.
After Vaughn Grissom, Michael Wacha, Griffin Jacks, who could be the fill-in closer for the Twins early on. Andrew Nardi, lefty with the Marlins. Lots of strikeouts, good ratios for him. James Wood, who was sent to AAA. And kind of like the Pirates, if the Nationals find a way to stick around until mid-May and James Wood is just mashing the first month of the season, it's not inconceivable that he could be called back up. So,
or it's not inconceivable, but I'm betting against it. I did not include James Wood among my top 12 prospects to stash. He would probably be on like a top 15 prospects to stash. But I did actually make a point to put an explanation why in that article, why I left out James Wood specifically. And it's because the Nationals being non-contenders, him being 21, I think, and didn't perform particularly well at AA last year. It's very likely they want to preserve his rookie eligibility for next year, and that they could justify preserving it no matter how well he's performing, given the stage of development he's in.
Was Dylan Cruz in that top 13 or 12, whatever?
Dylan Cruz.
Okay. So you have James Wood ahead of Dylan Cruz?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it could change, but I think just based on the way spring went, they're both at AA. They're both at AA and haven't fully mastered that level yet. Dylan Cruz and James Wood both.
Oh, they're starting them at AA?
No, Dylan Cruz is starting at AA, James Wood at AAA.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they were at AA, I guess, last we saw them, and didn't look like they had fully mastered it yet.
The latest, last couple picks, what do we have? We left off with James Wood, Louis Varland, Andrew Heaney, Ryan Nelson to finish out round 21. And then David Robertson, Reed Detmers, Andrew Vaughn, Dane Dunning, Lance Lynn, Chris Paddock. What do we need, Chris? We have two reserve picks left. I guess one of them should be another reliever, right? Third reliever?
Yeah, three relievers. So, yeah, that makes sense. And then we've got one outfielder. We don't really have much in the way of positional flexibility, but
who cares?
There's no like glaring holes in our team. I guess if we were to take a hitter, not an outfielder, since we have five of those who aren't eligible anywhere else. But yeah, I think if there's a multi-eligible infielder somewhere, we can consider them.
Okay. We are up. Last couple picks. Garrett Crochet, your White Sox opening day starter. Griffin Canning, Adam Duvall. What are we thinking?
We're going to go with a reliever.
Okay.
And
somebody fun?
Which reliever that is remains to be seen.
I have an idea. I'm going to slack you it.
Just say it out loud.
Brock Stewart.
Let's do it.
Just draft talent, baby. Strikeouts.
He was second on my queue.
Let's do it. Love that.
Who's first, you may ask?
We will potentially find out in three picks.
Potentially.
David and Kobe, you guys have to take relievers, and hopefully,
I mean, we,
who Scott wants.
We'll find out in no more than four picks, I suppose.
Adam Ottavino, I'm guessing not one of them, Scott.
Nah, he doesn't like Adam Ottavino. Scott's a Babe Ruth guy.
Shout out to Babe Ruth. Shout out to Adam Ottavino. Hunter Harvey, was he one of the ones, Scott?
Nope. Ah. Nope. And neither was Jock Peterson, because Jock Peterson isn't a reliever. Though Jock Peterson, not a bad pick here.
Yeah.
Generally, yeah, he walks, you know, he's generally like a 350 OBP guy. At least he was the last 2 years, mm-hmm. even though we think of him as a low batting average guy. So platoon player, but at this stage of the draft, not bad at all. I am going to go with Pierce Johnson.
Ah, we should have known you said that yesterday on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was nervous. Somebody would figure it out. Pierce Johnson, also a breaking ball heavy reliever after joining the Braves. His breaking ball didn't work so well at Coors Field. After joining the Braves, 0.76 ERA, 0.89 whip, 12.2 K per nine, and he figures to be their primary right-handed setup man. Okay, I'm up again. Do I want to take a hitter? I feel like I'm using like a Moira Rose inflection there. I don't know. I don't know what was happening.
We've all just kind of lost it by this point in the off season.
So. Just pick a reliever, David.
I am going to take I don't know that any of my guys is officially going to be on the IL to start the year, so I'm going to take Shelby Miller.
Love it.
All right.
No, I love it. Betting against Alex Lang. Not that it really matters. He just.
I know you're a cruel commissioner, Frank, and don't force obvious IL cases into IL spots before the lineup lock.
Cruel commissioner?
Cruel. Very cruel. Not even Max Scherzer is on the IL yet officially. How is that possible? Get your act together, Rangers.
Scott, you know how much work we got to do? Oh, wait, you do know.
I do know.
I mean, God bless you for stepping up and doing it. You know, you're a commissioner in these leagues, too. You could do it if you want to do it.
I wasn't sure you'd let me. I'm willing to. I'm doing it for so many other leagues already.
Scott, I wouldn't get mad at you if you would want to put people's players on the IL for them. The only reason I don't do it is because I don't have the time to do it.
Uh-huh.
But okay. If you want to do it, you certainly can.
I didn't
want
to overstep my bounds here.
Scott, you can take over these leagues for the rest of time if you want to, dude.
Like, I'm not volunteering to do that.
You can look through 300 listener league submissions next year.
No.
It's all you.
I would not. If that task was assigned to me, I would just find the first 12 good ones and go with them. Or I guess in this case, the first, 13 good ones.
Next year, I'm hiring a PA to help me out and go through all these emails. After, what do we got? Scott took Shelby Miller. There was Trevor McGill. I think that was a good pick at the turn as well. Yep. We're into the final round, round 22. Gavin Lux, Josh Bell, Alec Burleson, Yimi Garcia. Oh, crap. We are on the clock. Just looking through to see if we missed any injured players that we could draft and put on the IL. And, we could do that.
There's a couple of pitchers.
Is it time? Is it a JMB LLC, Chris?
JMB LLC.
John Means Business?
No. Oh, sure, yeah.
Is he gone?
No, he's there.
All right. Is he the one? Is there anyone else?
Well, let's do it.
I don't... I'm trying
the other one was Emma Sheehan that I was thinking.
Yeah, I like Sheehan. He's almost never going to give you a quality start. Yeah. Let's go with John Means.
Let's do it.
Yeah, he's back. John Means. We've got two IL stashes between him and Walker Buehler. Just, I like to, you know, if they're there, you might as well use them at the end of your draft. Mm-hmm. It opens up a roster spot where you can add somebody, you know, before the game start or I guess after. If you have to wait for the IL designations, whatever it might be. The next pick is Kyle Finnegan, who will be the closer for the Nationals. The ratios might not be all that inspiring.
The save total might not be all that inspiring. I would not have taken Kyle Finnegan.
Scott with the slam dunk. Final round of the draft.
More like a rejection.
Okay.
Like a blocked shot. It was rude, you could argue, but you know, it's the big leagues. You're playing with the big boys now.
Sometimes you got to be rude.
Sometimes, yeah, that's it. After Kyle Finnegan, Jeff McNeil, Joe Kelly, Jason Dominguez, Jacob DeGrom, Alejandro Kirk, Emmett Sheehan, all the IL stashes. Something interesting with Dominguez. Do you think he'll be placed on the major league IL, or will he be reassigned to the minors and then placed on their IL? Because if it happens in the minors, he won't be eligible for an IL spot. Just something
I don't know.
Thought about with Dominguez.
I don't know exactly how that works. I've long wondered exactly how that works.
I mean, I think if you get hurt in the majors, I would guess the Players Association would be pretty unhappy if you got sent, because you get paid based on the majors if you're up. So I would guess that he's going to be on the major league IL, but I certainly don't know for sure. Mm-hmm.
For all I know, he might have already been placed on the 60-day IL. Let's quickly pull up his
now that could be an issue for Shane Boz, because it's been such a long time that he might, but I'm not sure.
Second to last pick, and got another sigh from me. Taylor Ward, who is who I would have taken if I knew I'd be able to slot Max Scherzer in an IL spot ahead of time.
All right, the final pick of the draft, Mr. Irrelevant. Could be very relevant in the second half. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Springs, another IL stash there. Well, we've done it, Chris. How did we do sharing a team? It was quite the adventure, I would say.
I think it was great. I think it was entertaining for the audience. I think we learned something about ourselves. And I think we drafted a heck of a team.
Hey, man, we have Ellie De La Cruz. That's fun. Let's take a look at the squad. We were drafting 10th overall. And at catcher, we have Mitch Garver, followed by Spencer Torkelson, Nolan Gorman, Ellie De La Cruz, CJ Abrams, Nolan Jones, Jaron Duran, Riley Green, and Anthony Santander. Scott, tear us apart. How did we do?
Oh, you're going to be great at OBP. You're going to win that every single week.
The OBP is bad, but we might have lots of home runs and lots of steals.
Yeah. Yeah. Between De La Cruz and Abrams, you legitimately might win stolen bases. I mean, that's not even all you have. Jaron Duran. Mm-hmm. Home runs. Will you win home runs every week? No, but you'll win home runs sometimes. I see, for a 9-man lineup, I see 3 home run liabilities, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. Between Jaron Duran, I would say Riley Green, and also CJ Abrams. Not that they'll be zeros for home runs, but you know, would I pencil them in for 20? I would not. But you got some pretty good home run hitters too. So I don't know. I don't love the offense, going to be honest, but I may not love mine either when we get around to analyzing that team.
Let's take a look at the pitchers. We started our draft with Spencer Strider. This was kind of the bizarro draft because I didn't have any Spencer Strider, any Ellie De La Cruz coming into this draft. But that was part of the plan. We the one thing Chris and I agreed on beforehand, if Ellie is there in round 2, we're going to take him. And that's what we did.
It's the FOMO draft.
But our starting pitchers, we've got Spencer Strider and Tarek Skubal up top. And then we've got Luis Severino, Walker Buehler, DL Hall, Brandon Pfaadt. We've got John Means, Garrett Whitlock, Tyler Wells. Those are the starters. And our relievers, we've got Mason Miller, Michael Kopech, and Brock Stewart. So lots of strikeouts, hopefully. We'll see what we get saves and holds wise. But what do we think? Chris, you can react this time first. what do you think of our pitchers?
I think it's hard to go wrong in any direction once you have two guys like Tarek Skubal and Spencer Strider on your team. I think save plus holds could be somewhat of a liability just because Kopech and Miller are on bad teams. But I think if they're the closers from the jump, they can get to 30 saves. And I think they'll be really, really, really good along the way. And Brock Stewart should be a very healthy source of saves plus holds, even if he's not the Twins closer when Duran is out, which I think he very well may be, because he put up some pretty bonkers numbers. So we're going to put Walker Buehler on the IL. We're going to put John Means on the IL. We're going to take a couple more flyers on starting pitchers. We're probably, there's a decent chance we drop Brandon Pfaadt and DL Hall and some of those guys as the season goes on, but they've all got upside, and that's what I'm aiming for at starting pitcher. So,
well, and like I said earlier, it's probably in part one of the podcast at this point, if your plan with only seven pitcher spots is to fill 3 of them with relievers, mm-hmm. which if you're not drafting a stud closer who will get 35 plus saves, it probably should be. Mm-hmm. So you'll get enough holds or combined saves and holds. then that only leaves four pitchers that you, four spots that you have to fill with starting pitchers. Okay, two of them are going to be Strider and Tarek Skubal for you. When Walker Buehler comes back, he's going to be one. And then you just need to find one. I think Tyler Wells could be that guy for you. Any one of them could be that guy for you. The issue is, you got Luis Severino too, it could be him. The issue is if any of Skubal, Strider, and I would say Buehler also, if any of them end up getting hurt, missing more time than expected, it could become a big problem. So it's a strategy that could work, but you're counting on good luck to some degree.
Yeah, right. I think that's fair.
Let's slide over to your team, Scott. You were drafting 15th out of 16 teams, and your hitters, Will Smith at catcher, Bryce Harper, Andrés Giménez, Isak Paredes, Corey Seager, Luis Robert, Christopher Morel, Evan Carter, and your utility bat is Matt Wallner.
Wow, what a drop off there to the utility spot, huh? I mean, Matt Wallner could work out as the three true outcomes guy in an OBP league, or he could not work out. He could sit too often. He could strike out a bunch and get sent to the minors. But it is just one hitter spot in a league where you don't have to go as deep as you think, given that 16 teams into the hitter pool. So I feel confident there will be somebody out there on waivers. Not that I have an obvious choice to pick up now, but there will be somebody worth picking up when I decide it's time to move on from Wallner. And as for the rest of my lineup, I think it's pretty good.
You're probably going to beat us in home runs and OBP when we play. I'm going to go on a limb there.
Maybe OBP.
Stolen bases would be the weakest of the three, but I do have Giménez, who I think will be 40-plus steals, and Luis Robert, Christopher Morel, Evan Carter, and Bryce Harper even will chip in 15 to 20 a piece. So I think I'll win stolen bases a lot, but not against you guys.
Yeah, if there's one thing Team Cramful is good at, it's stealing bases. Let's take a look at the pitchers. Tyler Glasnow, Chris Bassitt, Jack Flaherty, Nick Pivetta, AJ Puck, Michael King, Christopher Sanchez, Max Scherzer, Kyle Bradish, Nick Lodolo. So you got some IL stashes there, and then your reliever, Shelby Miller, Pierce Johnson, and Jeff Hoffman. You got your ace up top with Glasnow. You got quality starts with Chris Bassitt, and then really just loaded up on a bunch of upside, and I would say there's a pretty good chance at least some of these guys work out.
That was the plan, yes. As I was saying for you guys, I need to land on four that I can rely on every week. If it's more than four, that's still great. I can play two start weeks and not sacrifice as much in strikeouts from week to week by starting three relievers. But that was what I intended to do, particularly when the early rounds didn't play out like I wanted at starting pitcher, Tyler Glasnow being the only early round option, obviously a risky one, but an impactful one when he's healthy. I think he'll do a lot for me in ERA and whip and strikeouts when he's healthy for however long that lasts. And hopefully during the stretches where he isn't healthy, enough of these, what I see is a lot of high upside breakout cases between Pivetta and AJ Puck and Michael King and Christopher Sanchez even. Of course, Max Scherzer and Nick Lodolo when they're back from injury, Kyle Bradish too. Hopefully enough of them have solidified their place in fantasy that starting pitcher is a strength for me, given my relatively low investment in it.
All right, Chris, anything else to add? What do you think about Scott's pitchers here?
I think it's pretty good. But yeah, after Glasnow and Bassitt seems pretty safe at this point. After that, yeah, it's pretty iffy, and Glasnow's obviously super iffy for a one ace build, but the volume probably will make it work out. You know, you've got what, 10 starting pitchers on your roster? 5 of them should be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when you go with that volume approach of just drafting a bunch of pitchers, it's just, you know, you don't have as many that you're going to rely on early on in the draft, but you're just hoping to hit on a few of those guys a little bit later on. All right, well, there we go. Our final draft of the season, our 16-team for the people. head-to-head categories draft. We are going to wrap there. For Scott and Chris, I am Frank. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to Fantasy Baseball Today. Please make sure to follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. And we will be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!